Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KOR-UFM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for June 26th, 2020.
Once again, good morning, fellow pilgrims. It's once again a delight to be with you, and I just invite the Holy Spirit to lead us through this time as we take a little different tack today. With me today is my son Matthew, who does all the recording of our podcasts and gets them on the air. But today I also have my son Paul and his wonderful wife Devon, and they're going to be sharing things out of their life in a few moments. But I'd like to make some comments about what we want to do in these next few minutes together. This is a different podcast because they're going to be giving their testimony of the dealings of God in their life, their marriage, with their children, their family, etc. And some of the things that I think are important to begin with is in the 12th chapter of Revelation, when it talks about testimony, it says this. I want to bring my Bible up to my face so I can read it. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. So today, Paul and Devon are going to be sharing things. Both of them were born and raised in Christian families. But there's been, over the years, some misunderstandings about one, what does it mean to become a Christian, and other things. We'll talk about those in just a moment. Many people, I can recall in my own life and Barbara's life, heard a gospel that said in essence this, you'll be born again and the rest of your life you're going to be happy, no problems. Nothing could be farther from the truth. One of the things that Jesus said is, if they did this to me, if they persecuted me and lied about me and all of the things that were done against him, I want you to know that you're following me, the same things may happen to you. So I know that there's going to be problems in the Christian life. Christians have problems. And Christians can also have addictions and things that they have to deal with in their life. Think of the 7th chapter of the book of Romans where Paul talks about his old nature. Well, when you and I are born again from above by the Spirit, and we see the kingdom, and then we desire to enter the kingdom, we find out that we still got this old nature in us that's constantly lying and accusing us, and we have to, by faith, overcome that voice. And that's part of the testimony. When we become a Christian and you're born again, from above, from a whole different realm, and the Spirit of Christ begins to move in you, he begins a process of what we call sanctification. And sanctification is a very long-sounding word, but it's very simple. It just simply means that when you're born again, now you are set aside for God to mature you as a disciple of the kingdom of God. The other thing that's important to understand is that for many centuries, we never heard the gospel of the kingdom of God. What we heard was the gospel of get saved, which was true, but it isn't the whole truth. And then later, through Pentecostal movements, charismatic movements, we heard you need to be filled with the Spirit and have a second blessing. And somebody called that the full gospel. Well, that isn't full either. The full gospel that Jesus preached to us, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is the ruling and the reigning of the people of God that Jesus saves us for and in his kingdom. So as we talk today, we're going to be talking about the process of discipleship. In my own life, before I was born again, I faced some problems that I'm ashamed to even record today. Things that went through my mind, temptations that came, but God always proved faithful. So when we give our testimony, we're not saying to look how wonderful I am or what I've become, but how great our God is, how great he is in showing us the way of life. I want to just share one last thing then as we begin to sort of grill my dear son and daughter-in-law. I just love them so much, what they've been through and what glory Jesus is receiving through them for the difficulties that they faced. But I thought an example from 1 Corinthians might be helpful. In 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, Paul writes, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and shall also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord. God's faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he begins this letter, and Corinth at that time was kind of like where the jet setters go today to have fun, what we would call as a sin city. And it was a very rebellious city. But he called these Corinthians believers, and he called them Christians. And yet when you read about the Corinthian church, there's one time where they come to communion drunk. And Paul says, how can you do that? Or another case where a man is arrogant about loving his father's wife. Then they talk and argue about the gifts of the Spirit, who's greater than that. And it's in that 13th chapter of Corinthians where Paul just kind of breaks through and says, wait a minute, here is the deal. Here's the thing I really want you to see. After he talks about all of the gifts and miracles that can happen, he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That 13th chapter ties it all together. And we have to learn how to grow in Christ. And growing means we're going to miss it. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. But at Calvary, by Jesus' shed blood, by the crucifixion, his death and burial, he has forgiven all who will receive him as Lord and Savior, all our sin, past, present, and future. But remember, the enemy remembers some of it and comes back to accuse us. And he says, how do you feel? Well, we learn as Christians, you don't walk and live by what you feel or don't feel. You live and walk by faith. So there's so much more I could say, but I want to turn now to Paul and Devon, thank them for being here. And I don't want to seem like the great inquisitor, but I'm going to ask some questions of you, and I just want you to take your time. I want you to, first of all, if you would, kind of give a testimony of your coming to Christ, your marriage, the difficulties you've gone through in your marriage, and how God has helped you, and the honesty with which he has given you to face where you've been, where you're going, and the present life of his Spirit. So, Paul?
Yeah.
And Devon. Say hello, Devon.
Hello.
There. It is such a delight to have you
Thanks,
here.
Dad. We're glad to be
it's
here.
It's good to be here.
And there's no hurry at all. I just want people to be blessed by the grace that God has worked through your lives.
Well, bless you, Dad, and thanks, Matt, for all the hard work you put into this. I'm so grateful to be sitting here alive and in my right mind. And it's all due to the grace of God, just the grace of a loving God who saved me from myself and loves me so much that he has chosen to discipline me as a son, to set me free from myself. And so when I think of, Dad, some of the things that you were just talking about, being your oldest son, I grew up in a very odd household. I really did, because we had people living with us. We had older people, my grandparents living with us at one time. We had young people coming to stay with us. We had families, missionaries coming through to stay with us. We had meetings in our home where Saturday night there'd be 200 people at our house, and there wouldn't be any place to sit. People sitting on the stairs, outside, all through the kitchen, and we would just have, that was church. And the neighbors thought we were crazy or had a commune going on. It was a really bizarre way to grow up. But what I did see was a fascination with Jesus, with people that came in hurting and upset, and to see people delivered, set free. So it made a big impression on me as a young man, as a child, and as a young man, you know, because I kind of saw the whole gamut of it. Because when I was very young, I would go with you, Dad, to meetings. We would drive all over the state, you know, and I would stay with their kids while you were teaching till late at night, and then we either stay the night or drive back.
I remember.
And, you know, it was just interesting in those times because the world was a different place. You know, I just remember us talking all the way back home, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with the radio on, and we'd be talking, driving down the highway.
I remember.
And it was just a neat time. And I think just as I talk about it, I think that in a really kind of a beautiful way, the Lord knitted our hearts together at a very early time. Because I remember also when I was real little that you're always up early, and you'd be writing your sermon out longhand or something, and that I would just love to sit in your office while you were doing that. Just sit there. And you'd ask me, what do you want? I said, I just want to be with you. I just want to sit with you. And that, my relationship with you was something that God used to give me a good picture of his character. Because I had such a wonderful earthly father, that it was a natural progression to my heavenly father. But that doesn't mean that I escaped the consequences of my own bad decisions, the lies, a lot of lies that I believe, a lot of hurts that I allowed, a lot of mistakes I made. And that's, I mean, we could talk for hours and hours on all the failures, but I know that as life progressed, and me as a believer, I began to feel that that somehow everybody had gone to a summer camp that I had never gone to, that everybody had an idea or had a certain understanding that I just didn't have, you know, that I didn't. Everybody seemed to get stuff, and I was just like, what? I was clueless. I mean, that I felt that way in school. I didn't do well in school until we were homeschooled.
Yes.
I didn't do well in public school. I did okay. But I remember feeling in class like I just didn't understand what was going on. And everybody else seemed to be doing well. But that Paul kid, he just couldn't get it. And so I always felt kind of on the outside. And, you know, none of my friends were believers. The kids that I knew were believers. I was kind of that type of kid that grew up in both worlds. I had my Christian friends, and I had to play the game with them and kind of be on the fringe, because I was kind of like the tough Christian kid. And then I had my friends that were non-believers, and I played the game with them.
Hmm.
But at the same time, there's an internal struggle of feeling guilty on one side and feeling like a nerd on the other side all the time. And
oh,
so
my.
Never at home inside, never at peace inside with who I was. I didn't even know who I was. And as I, you know, as I think as I got to be, become a young man and a teenager, I battled, you know, I started drinking back then, started experimenting with, you know, just smoking dope and rock and roll and staying out late and sneaking out of the house, growing my hair long, getting rebellious, wanting to leave the house. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened. And I was hurting. And I think with the, but it was even interesting. It's very interesting as I think back on it right now, is that even during those times, Jesus always had the ability to touch my heart.
Huh.
As tough as I wanted to be, as hard as I wanted, the perception to be, I've always been a very tender-hearted person, very tender-hearted man, and the Lord knew that about me, and He's always been able to win that struggle if I would just listen to Him.
And that is the end of part one of this conversation with Paul and Devon. Part two is on the 6/29/2020 podcast. This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.